Today's daf is daf kuf aleph. So we got to the bottom of kuf amud beis. The Mishnah begins hamocher makom lechaver olasos lo kever. Person sells a property, a catacomb, as they say here, or a some type of cave to bury, or v'chein hamakabel mechaver olasos lo kever, or he accepts whether it was sold or whether it was received as a present. So the halacha, the Mishnah tells us what's the shear, what's the minimum shear of a kever. The Mishnah says, Osa tocha shel ma'ara dalid amos al shesh. It's made 4 amos by 6 amos. That's the dimensions of the ma'ara. Uposeach letocha shmona kochin. And you have to, now protruding out from this kever, where it's going to be 8 little, how do they call it here? Crypts, little areas for the mace to be buried in. So imagine you have this big room, this kever, and then shooting off through each of the walls, and there are going to be a total of 8 places to bury the mace. And how does it split up? So the Mishnah says, shalosh mikan v'shnayim mikinegdam. So you imagine you walk into this room, so on each wall, there's going to be three kochen, and then there's going to be 2 against kineged the wall. That's a total of 8. You have a picture there?
That picture?
Maybe on the other page I do? Not on the French page. Here, in my arts class I do. You're pointing, what are you pointing at?
The next page.
Oh, the next, so we'll get there. We're not there yet. That's going to have... Oh, you're right, so the right side. You're right. So the right side there, so you have the 4x6 on the page Kuf Aleph. So it has, there's 3 on each of the walls, and then there's 2 on the adjacent wall. And we'll see in a second why there's 2 sets of these. Then the Mishnah says that the Kohen Arkon Arba Amos, the length of them is Dal Amos, and Roman Sheva, they're 7 Tvachim high, and then they are Rachman Shishan, 6 Tvachim wide. So again, 6 Tvachim wide, which is around an Amma, there's 6 Tvachim in an Amma, according to one Mandamer, and 7 Tvachim high, and then 4 Amos long. So look at the Rashbam on the top of Kuf Aleph. Rashbam says, Arba Mikan. So, Bekosel Sha'archo Shmona. On the wall that's 8 Amos long, so that has 8 kochim, 8 places to bury. Dalad amos le rochvan. There's going to be 4. No, wait a second. This is going on the other pin. So we're not there yet. Sorry. Let's go now to. Why is it talking 8 amos here now? Okay, I'm not sure exactly how the amos work out. But if you look at the Rashbam, anyways, Arba Mikan.
You're right, it's on the next opinion, Rabbi Shimon.
It's on the next opinion, right? Okay, fine. Let's do one more opinion then. Then Rabbi Shimon Omer, Osa Tocha Shom Ara Shesh Amos Al Shmona. There we go. He says that the cave should be bigger. It should really be 6x8 Amos. And you Poseach Latocha, and then you build off of this Ara, Shlosh Asar Koch. There are going to be 13 places to bury. Arba Mikan, 4 on each of the walls. Vishlosha Kinegdan, there's going to be 3 adjacent from the engines. And Echad Miyamin, Echad HaPesach, Echad Minasmova. And then one on the coming into the kever. So imagine you come into the kever, there's an engine to it, but there's still a wall as part of it. There's one kever on the right side, one kever on the left side. And we'll see the Gemara is going to really explain where these are situated. But the simple reading of the Mishnah is, again, when you walk into the kever, on each wall there's going to be 4. Across the way is going to be 3. That's a total of 11. And then there's going to be 2, one in each, when you walk in the entrance, 1 on each side. That's the that's a total of 13. So if you look now at the Rashi, Rashbam on top, he says, Arba Mikan, Bekosel She'archo Shmona, referring to Rabbi Shimon's opinion, who felt that one of the walls was 8 amos long. So now we have Dal Amos, the Roch of Hadal Kochen. So each Koch is a dal, 1 amos wide, because 6 Tvachim is an Amma. So each Koch is 1 Amma, that's 4 Amos. And in between, the Gimel Amos, the Shlosha Aviros Shebeneim. There has to be a separation of Amma in between each of the Kochim. So that's a total of 7. Again, there's an Amma of the burial, and then an Amma break. Amma burial, break. Amma. So there's 3 breaks, that's a total of 3 Amos in between. In between the 4 Kochim, that's a total of 7 Amos altogether. And then he writes, "V'shnei chatzai ama l'shnei azaviyos shel osa kosa." Now on the outside, the last koch, there's a half amma on each, and that's a total of 8 amos. That's how it's split up. So then the Mishnah continues to say, "Where are we now? V'osa chater al pi ha'ma'ara." And then you're supposed to make a courtyard in between the ma'ara, which is supposed to be sheish al sheish, 6x6 amos. Kimale hamita v'kovreh. Should be large enough, in large enough space. The Rashbam says, look at the Rashbam, seven lines down from the top. Kimale hamita v'kovreh, kilomer nose hamita. There needs to be enough space for the people carrying the mita to have place to stand, and then they start entering into the ma'ara and to put it in the location in the ma'ara. That's how it's set up. Okay, so then the Mishnah concludes, says that uposeach latocha shtei ma'aros. So from this courtyard, there should be two of these ma'aros, like we have in the picture below, shooting off of this chatzer. That's how the Mishnah describes this. And then the achas mikan, one from each side, exactly how the picture explains. Comes along Rabbi Shimon Omer, more complicated here, arba la arba ruchuseh. He says there should be four, the way the picture below that looks, which seems to be very overcrowded. You'd imagine, you go to a base kvaros, it seems very overcrowded, the base kvaros. I'm wondering how they fit in there. But this is based on the halachas here of the Mishnah. So it's overlapping, overcrowded. We'll see how it all plays out. But that second image on the Rashbam is how it should be situated according to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon.
But this looks different than what we said before. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, we said that there was one on your right and one on your left when you walked in.
Exactly. He's going according to where the Gemara's Maskana is. So that those corner ones that go off from the angle, that's how the Gemara is going to explain according to one opinion. And then the end of the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Hakol Lefi Aselet. All depends on the rock. What does that mean, the rock? So if you look at the Rashbam, right below the second picture, it says, Hakol Lefi Aselet, Akuchen Kai, referring to the Kuchen, or the crypts we said, Shim Hakarka Chazak, if it's a very strong land, Ein Tzar Chefresh Amma ben Koch Lekoch Lekosa. If it's very strong ground, you can have less than Amma in between. Vosa Yosem Yud Gimel Kochen, you could stuff in more than that. So depending how strong the kark is, so I don't know how intimate you guys have been in burying a mace, but sometimes they warn you to be very careful. If you get too close, sometimes it could collapse the dirt between the two base kvaros. If you get too close, be very, very careful, because there's only so much space. So I don't know how what's practiced nowadays in the Jewish cemeteries, how much space. It doesn't seem like there's much. It looks like to me, from what I remember, probably the amma makes sense. But even with an amma, if you dig too much and you step on the ground, it can really collapse. Fine. So these are the measurements delineated by the Mishnah. Look at the Tosas on the top here, Kuf Aleph. The Tosas writes, Dibur Maschil Rach von Shisha. So the width of a kever has to be 6 tvachim in order to slide the mason. So the Tosas writes, Vafilul mandamar basuki, even the opinion of Gemara Sukkah says, Shaldam tofes amma, a person himself is tofes an amma. So how do you fit a person now plus the coffin, the aron, inside an amma, or even an amma, forget the coffin, if the width is an amma, how do you stuff a person who's also an amma inside? You need space for him to fit in there. So Tosas writes, Hainu kishu lavish. A person wearing clothing is an amma wide. But if he's not wearing clothing, in which case he's not wearing very thick clothing when he's buried, tachrichen are not very thick, so he's going to be less than an amma, enough room to squeeze him into that kever. I shouldn't say squeeze in, not a nice word, but either way, he fits into that kever. When a person's not wearing that much, namely tachrichen, doesn't take up so much room, even with the aron, the man and the aron has enough space to fit into the amma, lo havikim am. It's only an amma wide, so it does fit in very nicely into the kever. Okay, and he brings a proof for this, because teda, the below malbush, ein machzik amma, without clothing a person is not an amma wide, he's less than an amma wide. How do we know this? The mikveh, the Gemara tells us in many places that the size of a mikveh, the minimum shear is eino ela amma al amma berom gimel amos. It's an amma in square footage, and then three amos high. So if a guy is wired, is a guy's in exactly an amma, how does he fit into an amma wide mikveh? Must be a person without clothing is a little bit thinner than amma and can't fit nicely into a mikveh that size. So too as well into the toch. Well, actually, according to the Tosas, he says an aron. So they use caskets, but they use wooden ones. That what we use, they use
but
aron.
But they did
talk,
then you wouldn't.
Yeah, in Echanami. But Tosas says that you would use an aron.
So it's not
an Israel. Yeah. So they discuss other places if a person uses an aron, Eretz Yisrael, they don't.
Right.
But where Tosas lived, they apparently did.
Right.
Okay. Now, there's another point here that Tosas writes here. Tosas writes, Dibur Maschil V'Yoseh. He says, "Osa chatzer al pesach hamara." You make this courtyard between these two different caves. So he says, "Kan mashma." Here it implies, "Shachatzer gavoa min hamara." it implies from here that the chatzer was actually higher than the ma'ara, and you have to kind of step down below into the ma'ara. And I'll explain so later on, we're going to see this. I'm not going to bring the raya, but it's, again, the way it's been situated, the ma'ara is low down. You go in steps down to the ma'ara. But later on, he asks Akasha halfway down this toast roast from the Gemara in Sota, Mashma, Sheina chatzer shave ima karka olam, ela amuk v'tarach la'alos kishiyotu mimenu. It sounds like the chatzer is actually lower down. That when you leave the base kfaros, the chatzer, you have to now ascend up into the street level. So it sounds like the chatzer is low down and the ma'ara is higher up. And he ends up saying very simply that in the last two lines of Tosfos, v'yeshlomar de'afa pisha chatzer amuka, hamara muka haymana. I don't know of a good example of a base kfaros in Eretz Yisrael, let's say. But apparently, when you have the land, the level of the street level, you have to take step downs to get to the base kfaros. And now to get to the ma'aros, there'd be further steps down lower to where the mace is buried. What?
Certain place in
Tzvas. Well, Tzvas, I remember going to the street, depending where you're coming from. If you're coming from Tzvas, so then you're going down the mountain. You're going from the street level where the bus drops you up, then you're going up, climb up that mountain to get to the Ari's mikvah. Either way, okay. Gemara now says, Hani trei lehecha shadilu. So these two, we said in the Mishnah that according to Rabbi Shimon, you're able to stick in two kochim at the corners. So the initial understanding was when you walk into the base kfaros, there's going to be one on the right on that front wall and one on the left wall, and then there'll be four on the other four there and three against you, but two right when you walk in, right to the right and to the left. So Gemara wants to know where exactly they're situated. Ilavrai, if they're on the outside, that means they're going to be in the chatzer. If again, there's no picture, is there? No picture. Again, imagine I'm walking into the ma'ara from here. I'm walking in, and this is the whole ma'ara now. The chatz is right behind me. So if right now the havamin is I'm putting one right there, and it's going to be below the ground, but it's going to be underneath the chatzer, and the other one on that side below the chatzer behind me. So the problem with that, the Gemara says, which is a very important halacha, e lavrai, if they're going to be buried underneath the outside of the chatzer, ha kimitadche lehu. There's a stepping, lashon of dash and disha. You're going to be trampling on the base kvaros. And look what Rashbam says here. If you look at the Rashbam, four Y lines down. Every time someone's going to be buried and they're walking on the chatzer, they're trampling on top of the mace. They're going to place the mita down there. If someone else dies, they place the mita down, and that mita will be standing on top of a mace that's buried below the ground. They're going to be eulogy maybe there, and all the other things that we say at a cemetery. Below dami lejesus no se amita shadoris na gavim aros. But aren't people walking all the time when you go visit a mace there? You're going to be walking over other kvaros. That's okay, because hamok bismo kol tzad kishmevein es amita lechatzer. Whenever you bring another amita in, you're inevitably going to be stepping on already a mace that's buried. The hasam b'shvil hiluch lefisha lo kaped Rabbi Shimon. When you're walking over a kever to get to bury someone else or to go visit a kever, you're walking over a few others along the way, that's lefisha, just regular walking. But to now have someone buried below the chatzer, where people are supposed to sit and the eulogies are taking place and they're saying tzidak hadin and the kaddish, to have it remaining on top, that's going to be a tremendous bizayon to the mace that's below it. That's why we should have everything buried within the kever. That's problem number one. So you see, by the way, the number of the halacha here is a person should be very careful not to step on a kever when they are in the process of burying. Now, again, you don't want to be you have to be careful. You have to also be very well-footed when you are, busy digging and covering up a mace. And again, you're bound to be stepping on the adjacent kvaros, but you have to be very, very careful for this as well. Okay, so it can't be, again, we're burying it on the outside. And question number two of the Gemara says on that suggestion, Vesu, moreover, Hatanan, the Mishnah tells us that a chatzer, the Mishnah appears in Olos, that a chatzer hakever, the courtyard of a kever, which is a chatzer that's in between the two ma'aros, the din is ha'omid betocho, a person standing on the chatzer is actually tahor. So now if, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're burying people below that chatzer, then you can't say that chatzer is tahor. People, there's tumas ohel. The people are buried below. So these two kochim cannot be below the chatzer. So where is Rabbi Shimon putting these two other kochim? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina, David lehu kimin neger. What's he doing here? He's making it like a door bolt. What's a door bolt? What does that mean? So Rashbam says here, the last two lines of the page, David Lakimi Neged, Neger, Minol Sha Pesach Zokuf. A vertical bolt you're putting in the door, Shayorid Milmal Mamate. You put it down standing up. That's how you put the mason. So there's enough room. So in the corner, so when you walk into the Mara, this is my back wall. So I don't dig them below the chatter. Rather, I put them now standing vertically right in the ground on each side, and it doesn't go below the chatter. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the suggestion of Rabbi Yossi. So Gemara says, you can't say that. This is when Rabbi Yochanan say that kvuras chamorim hizu. This is the way you bury donkeys. I don't think it's literally the way they bury donkeys, but I guess it's not a very nice way to bury. They quote apparently a pasuk in Yirmiya that says kvuras chamor yikvar and sachav ashlech mal la shari Yushalayim. That when a donkey dies, you just throw the donkey in the pit. And the pit we know is vertical, that's not wide. You throw it into the pit. So too. You put a mace, an adam like this as well. That's a derech bizayon, and that cannot be tolerated. So that's not where it went. So then the question is, so Rabbi Yochanan davilu. So what did Rabbi Yochanan do if he didn't allow such a kvura to be a vertical kvura? So Gemara says, the avilu bekeren zavis. He put it in the corner. So that's that picture we had in the first page. You have it in the second page here as well. It would be at on that angle. You have the circles, all the straight lines on the sides and then the end, and then the corners are where the two other mason would go. But doesn't the Mishnah say they're next to the Pesach, next to the entranceway? So Rashbam says here, top line, David Lahu Bekeren Zavis, you make them, you bury them in the corner on an angle. Bechatzi ama pnuya bezavis mizeh, bechatzi ama shebezavis hakosel shekineged eitzah pesach. What's going on there? We said at the bookends, at each line of the wall, we had four people buried, and there's a half an ama at the end. And then the other wall had three burials, and then there's half an ama at the end. So now there's a half ama on each of the end, making that perpendicular right angle like that. So there's half amma there, half amma here. Enough room to squeeze in on an angle that kever. That's how it was. On that angle between those, because they're half an amma on each side. That's where you would place it.
So you can't add those two half ammas.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. So we're going to get right. Well, you can't really add them. I'm not sure how exactly it works because you really need an amma in between also.
Right.
So I'm not sure how that space works.
There's no space between.
But there's no space in between. So and then he also suggests that. But doesn't the Mishnah say it's supposed to be neged the Pesach on the back end? He says, no, it's supposed to be keneged. It's facing the Pesach. It's on the opposite end of the Pesach. So that's where it's situated. Again, I'm not getting the math here, how that works out. But, okay.
Much more works than
that. It does, yeah. Let's see.
Note 3,
okay. Sections B, C, and C, D. Don't mean anything to you. Okay, but the sections of the area where are one half an amma each. So we have that extra half an amma between the bookends of each side. And then the distance between these bookends is therefore only slightly more than two-thirds of an amma. Okay, one second. I'm not sure what he's trying to say here.
I think he's saying that you cut in. If you cut in, then you make enough room.
How do you cut in?
Yeah,
what do you mean?
Picture.
I see that picture there.
See the picture how the bottom line. So let's say, see where E is?
Yeah.
E is higher than the end of the recess that's on to the right of it.
Mm-hmm. But the way it looks, it seems like they're touching each other.
They're touching each other, but they're...
You definitely have to go into the...
There's no way. It's impossible.
By cutting into the two others, you're creating a wide enough...
So you're cutting down their area a little bit?
Yeah.
Taking away from those ends.
Yeah, but you see how they draw the line staggers that I guess it only takes away a small half amma by half amma square at the very tip where they meet, but really in airspace where they meet, not their walls actually.
Okay. Not entirely getting it.
The whiteboard, really.
Okay. Okay, so I don't fully get it. I'll have to... Fine. So then the Gemara says, "V'hanagi b'kolchin l'hadade." Asks our question: aren't they touching each other? So the Gemara says, "Amar Ravashi." Ravashi says, "B'mamik." No, it's where you actually dig below a little bit. Rashbam says two narrow lines down. "V'mamik Lo yachbor b'shavah l'achem. You don't make them on the same level as the others. Ela milmata yachbor also she ama ben taim kein ilis v'tachtes. You dig an ama deeper than the other ones, and this way, even though there might be some overlap, there's still going to be an ama of dirt in between. So there might be a few inches of overlap, but there's still going to be an ama of height in between the higher and then the lower kuchen. That's what the Gemara suggests. So then the Gemara says, "Dilal teimahachim." We don't say this, that there's this level of amamik, that they're higher and lower kvaros. Arba ma'aros le Rabbi Shimon heicha avilu hakanagi kochin lahadade. So if you remember, Rabbi Shimon held in the Mishnah that from the chatzar there were actually four ma'aros protruding from the chatzar. If you look back in Amr Al for that picture, which is like, wow, this is like very overcrowded and overlapping, that picture of the four, that second picture of the Rashbam, where there is so many overlaps here, how in the world could he accomplish that? So it must be, the Rabbi Shimon holds, that Ela B'mamik, the only way Rabbi Shimon makes sense, if there is a higher and lower kvaros that are on top of each other but not touching each other, so too here as well, Hachanami B'mamik, so too at the corners were higher or lower than the other kvaros, this way they were not touching. That's how he suggests. Then the Gemara brings another suggestion, what they did with these two other kvaros. Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua Amar, Arba Maros Rav Shimon Davilei Kicharusa. That's not a Shaila. Rabbi Shimon, the only Rabbi Shimon's suggestion of the four Maros from each side of the Chatzar doesn't have to be explained to be where it was higher or lower or Bimamik. You explain it as Charusa, which is like a fan. What does a fan mean? So if you look at picture number Gimel in the Rashbam there, they put everything at an angle. Everything's at an angle there, you can fit all those different kuchim next to each other without having to overlap and without having to be mamik at all. That's the suggestion he makes. So the Gemara says, how could you say that? V'had the Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua Bedusahi or Berusahi? Wasn't this an outside shita? Wasn't he mistaken by this halacha? Why was he mistaken? Because he says, Michti, let's understand for a moment the halachas here. Kol amasa biribua amsa v'trechum sheblachsona. So let's do a little math now. So every ama in straight line on an angle will be an ama in 2/5. So 1.4. For every one ama, there's 1.4 amos on the angle. So now you have this, right now we're dealing with these side, these perpendiculars. So again, in the chatzer, there's a mara here, a mara here, a mara here, a mara here. So at the corners now, where the mara here and the mara here meet, that's, this is according to Rabbi Shimon, we said it was 8 amos long. Each one's 8 amos long. So that means this angle, which is the same thing as this angle, but this angle is going to be, it's going to be 8 times 1.4, which is going to be, when they say it here in the math, it's going to be 11.5, I think, right? 11.5. So look what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Kama havalu, chad sari v'chumsha. It's going to be 11.4. Okay, 11 and 2/5, 11.4 kuchim. So let us say v'chumash. So again, right now here, I could, this angle is going to be 11.4. And the Gemara says, no? 1.2. Oh, chumash is 1/5. It's 1/5. So 1.2, 11.2. So it's 1/5, which is, again, 2/10, 20%, so it's 11.2. So now, kuchen kamahavu, how many can I fit in this area? So I could fit, right now I have a, from here to here, I've got 11.2 amos to work with. That's the area from here to fit in kuchen here, among 11.2. I could only fit tamna, I can only fit 8 in here, because 8, no, I'm sorry, I need to fit 8 in here. I need to fit 8 in here, because that's what I'm trying to accomplish. When I have these meat, so according to Rabbi Shimon, I need to squeeze an 8 into this area of 11.2. The problem is, though, tamna mechad tari v'chumsha heicha mishkachasa. How in the world do you fit 8 kuchen in only 11.2 amos of space? Remember, every ama of kuchen, you need to have an ama separation. So that's 8 amos of kuchen, and then there's 7 separations. So that's another 7 amos you need. You need 15 amos of space between this in order to fit in 8, in order to fit 8 kuchen in. So it doesn't make any sense. Se'ela ha de Rav Huna Brei de Yeshua Berusahi. Therefore, he made a mistake, and therefore it doesn't fit in here. So the only explanation is that where do you put these other two? These other two kuchen must be, you put them on an angle, and they were lower below the other kvaros. This way, there was never an overlap. Even though they may have overlapped a little bit on the end, since it was deeper in the ground and amma deeper, they were never touching each other. And then the Gemara makes one other suggestion. We'll stop here. that even though it's a little shorter, but it's a little bit involved here, this whole sugya, the Gemara says, Ibai Seima, Kidama Rav Shesha, Brei Davidi, Benefili, Hachanami Benefili. In another discussion, which we're going to see tomorrow, quoting this Mishnah in Olos, and tomorrow's the Daf, that he said, referring to Benefilim, where there's a stillborn doesn't need as much space, obviously, as a full-grown man. So the area, those corners, were actually left over for the Nefil to be buried there, which does not need as much space, and there will not be any overlap. And you don't have to be mamik at all. You could be on the same level, but it could be much shorter. You only need, let's say, I don't know, an amma in length, or maybe an amma and a half in length, as opposed to three ammos, whereby there will not be any type of overlap. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick up tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.